The Sandokai can be translated as all is one, all is different together. And in Buddhism, they'll say, if you can see everything as Buddha, you're seeing with one eye. If you see the good and the bad, all the differences, you're seeing with the other eye. Buddhist training is, how do you see with both eyes? So you're both seeing both aspects at the same time. Just like you can see somebody making a mistake, you know, look at, okay, what's going on? You know, you can, I was just listening to the depressing news, which I don't do that often, but this morning I turned on public radio and listening to, and naturally the news is, some of it's about what's happening in Israel and Gaza. And it's, you know, depressing news. How do you see that and also see that everything is Buddha? You know, that in the end, there's nothing from the first, but still see that there's right and wrong, you know, and actually see the fact that on a practical level, Buddhist training can be seen as a way of trying to deal with suffering. That's, in a way, why we're training. And one of the ways we do is by seeing beyond suffering. You know, it's like one of somebody who wrote the Chinese master Shang Yan, always like the title of his commentary on the scripture of great wisdom, the Heart Sutra, which he said, title is, there is no suffering. Which is to realize in a deeper sense, you know, there's nothing going on. If you don't cling to something, it's just what it is. You know, and the scripture kind of begins with, from west to east, unseen, flowed out the mind of India's greatest sage. And to the source kept true as an unsullied stream is clear. And, they're talking about the transmission of Buddhism, which, you know, in the west to east is the fact that from the Chinese point of view, India was the west. You know, when they talk about going to India for, even though when I look at the map, it doesn't seem that west, but that's always like, you know, the accounts always go that you're going to the west to go to India. So from west to east, and the teaching is clear when it focuses on the real essence of the Dharma. It's kind of, then it kind of goes, although by wit and dullness, the true way is varied. That's the variation. The reason there's all these different traditions and we're all different is due to our own dumbness. We all see things wrongly. Just like, you know, I just kind of think about the dullness, the wit, the things. It's the karma that you have that makes you not see things and make things like, you know, later in the scripture it goes, we compound delusion later on by following ideals. And you kind of go, well, what are the ideals? The ideals are how you think things should be or what matters, losing sight of the deeper picture. Just like I was watching something, I remember, and it was like just kind of like people kind of just deciding like if something goes, you know, kind of holding on to an image of how things should be. And losing sight of what's causing suffering and what isn't. And a good example of it, I remember watching something in which, where if the expression rape and pillage, so countries invaded, a lot of women are taken and raped. Well, in that culture, they now should just kill themselves because they're unclean. That's now we can go from our enlightened point of view. How could you do that? But that's holding to an ideal. And losing sight of the reality of what's going to help with suffering and that they mat their suffering. And it's very easy to lose sight of that. You know, it's almost like I kind of used this on the other day in a class where I remember asking somebody I knew who was passionate about Israel about, well, how should we treat the Palestinians? And she said, who cares about the Palestinians? And it was like, okay. That's why there won't be, it's hard to have peace unless you really look at it from, and this is true of looking at everything from, when we look at it through wit and dullness, you can just look at things and just not see reality. And that's so true of so many things in life. You know, true in relationships, people often don't want to see the other person. That's why often in a breakup, both people are victims. You know, how can both be victims? Yet, honestly, when I've talked to couples, sometimes both feel like they're a victim of the other person's karma, which is actually meaning they're not really looking at the other person, because then they would see, well, they feel victimized by me. They're not seeing that. They just see that they're being hurt by the other one. And the same thing is, just apply that to Israel and Palestine right now, you know, and Gaza, and the whole thing is both sides can easily feel like they're victims without seeing, well, what's it from their point of view? And actually, what will, from a Buddhist point of view, help? And one nice thing about Buddhism is, to the best of my knowledge, and I'm sure there's an exception somewhere in history, there's been, Buddhism been going for 2,500 years through all these cultures, but there's never been a religious war. You know, I mean, Buddhist groups have fought each other sometimes, but it wasn't about religion. I mean, it was normal idiocy, power, but it wasn't like, oh, you should practice this or be this. It's just not getting along with each other. It's just like Buddhist countries that have fought plenty of wars, but it just hasn't been about Buddhism. And Buddhist groups have mistreated, like in Burma now, Myanmar, they're mistreating the Buddhists, are mistreating the minority, but it's not, they're not saying it's because we're, you know, Buddhism is telling you to do it. It's just normal groups not getting along with each other, which, you know, that karma, which is the same way as men won't treat women well, has nothing to do with Buddhism. It's just Buddhist men will be, like in Japan, be sexist because that's their culture. You know, the same way as you can look down at another group. It's not Buddhism telling you to look down at the other group. It's just your delusion. And by wit and dullness, the true way is varied, meaning all of us have different karma. We all have different delusions in this world of ours.
You know, I had that one on.
I'm sure you didn't. It's not a common one. People are usually fairly good here at turning their phones off. It's the first time it's happened in a while. Just like everybody doesn't come up here to tea and stare at their phone, which in modern life, it's partly is that a lot of people here are also older, that they're not as addicted to phones, but it's just one of those things in modern life where, and it's like, I've never actually told people what to do with their phones. People usually just pick up, shouldn't have your phones on. I mean, if they ask me, I tell them to turn it off, but I've never actually usually said, oh, this is what we'll do. Here born, we clutch at things and then compound delusion later on by following ideals. Here born, we clutch at things. I mean, we come out, I want, I need, you know, just think of, I can even remember just being worried about my mother. She would be late and I, as a little kid, I'd worry. Of course, you know, naturally as a little kid, you're clutching. You know you're helpless and you need stuff. Plus you're a little bundle of karma. You know what I mean? You want this, you know, there's things that you care about, you know, and each little kid is a different karmic bundle, you know, that, you know, they're what matters to them. I remember it's like, you know, just like I can remember, just like the difference between girls' games and boys, little boys' games. Every little boy game, virtually, you have to have somebody win. You almost never have a little boy game in which there isn't a winner. Almost every little girl game, nobody wins. You don't win jump rope. As a boy, you would have to have something that made you win or lose jump rope. But when I used to watch the girls playing jump rope, they would just jump the rope or do stuff and play. Karmic difference. And then I remember, like, bundle of karma, one of my best friends growing up, when we played game, like sports, basketball or baseball, he didn't care about how he did or winning. And it would drive me, it would bother me. Take, you know, what I cared about, how I wanted to win the game. He just didn't care about winning You know, like, why do you care about who wins the basketball game? Why do you take it seriously? But to, as a little boy, that's how I enjoyed myself, is taking it seriously and making it like, oh, I want to win the game. Just different, you know, different karma. We all have different karma. We want different things. Different things matter to us. Little kids, some are full of fear and, you know, anxiety, you know, and they're born that way. You know, just like I've known, I remember talking to someone who had like 8 children, and she said, if you go nature, nurture, when you have 8 kids, you realize it's mostly nature. I did the same thing with all my kids. And like one of them happened to be a Buddhist monk. The other one was doing this, and they all went in different directions. And she said, it's not like I treated them much differently. They just all had their own karma. You know, which is true of all of us. And a lot of training is here born, we clutch, is we make things important. You know, just like an ideal, rather than looking at the concrete reality, like what's good for this person? How should they be? Instead, you'll hold to an ideal. This is how people should be. It's always nice that one of the Buddhist disciples actually had killed a lot of people. So when he met the Buddha, you know, it was almost like, you know, should he turn himself in and be executed? And Buddha said, oh, that's a waste. You know, become a monk and can do good. You know, so instead of having an ideal, he's looking at the concrete reality of what's in front of him and what would cause good. And the more we kind of compound delusion by asking for things to be specific, because that's where the grasping comes. I want this. I want the world to be this way. I want this to be this way. I want my people in my life to be this way. I want me to be this way. I can remember it took me a while in training to realize I have to let go of the ideals of how I should be. Since I never measured up to my ideals, you know, it's like I'm always a failure from my point of view, because I could always could see ways I could do so much better. And it took me, ideal is on one hand, on a practical level, we have ideals in the sense we do have a picture of how, just like, you know, if I'm doing a job, I have a picture of how I want it to go. Whatever we're doing, we're having an image, you know, a sense of where we're going, what we want, but not to cling to that, just to see. So when you have the fluid mind that allows you, when things are different, when somebody behaves differently, how do you respond? Instead of holding to the ideal, this is how they should be, or this is how I should be. Okay, here I am. What's good to do here? Which isn't an ideal. It's looking at the concrete reality of what's going on and trying to figure out what will cause good here. And when our cravings get too specific, when we hold too hard to an ideal, when we hold on too hard to what we want, life becomes very hard. And then we get disillusioned, get hurt, we get it, rather than seeing the fluidity and the fact that there's nothing we can hold on to. And in a deeper sense, like you're saying, wow, people shouldn't be dying in Gaza and in Israel. Well, that's obviously true, but people are always dying everywhere. We don't have to make it fundamentally different. And they're dying, people, from a Buddhist point of view, when people die, they're dying due to karma. I have cancer. Why? People kind of go, why do I have cancer? Well, that's your karma. Or I had a car accident. Why did I have a car accident? I didn't really, you know, it was the nature of karma, you know, because I still don't know why I had the car accident, but the car went out of control and had an accident. And if I had died, that would have been my karma. And if somebody mistreats you, I hate to say it, but that's your karma. It's almost like, I always like somebody, because I thought it's something you usually wouldn't hear, but one of the most important Hasidic teachers who led one of the Hasidic traditions, I remember saying very nicely, that you have to remember, everyone who died in the Holocaust died due to the whatever they had done in past lives. And I thought, God, that would not go over well in Israel. But from a Buddhist point of view, this is their karma. You know, this is karma. It's just due to karma, whatever happens to us. And it's not like we're being blamed or anything else. It's just, this is your karma. You're in a war zone. This is your karma. You're in a car accident. This is a karma. Somebody's coming at you to mug you with a knife. We don't know why it's our, you know, we never understand all the karma, but it becomes your karma. That, you know, somebody's, you know, a famous Buddhist teaching, Shanti Deva goes, whether somebody sticks a sword in you or a tree falls on you, it's the same thing. It's just you're dying due to karma. And it takes the, in a way, it takes the teaching in a way you go, well, I die due to my mistakes in past lives. The Buddha taught, nothing is me and nothing is mine, is the most direct way to gain enlightenment. You know, you're not taking possession out of it. It's just, this is karma. And in a deeper sense, when you die, nothing is being lost. Kind of go, wow, all these people are dying. Well, it becomes a tragedy if you feel something is fundamentally being lost. But since we're all dying anyway, it's like saying, but they should stay around longer. Well, I've known parents who lost children. It's plenty of times. It's like, this is just the nature of karma. We can say, want to blame somebody. Like if it happens through a disease, we have no one to blame. But if it happens to somebody else who takes a gun and shoots, kills everyone and does one of those crazy shootings, you can say, wow, that person. But of course, they're dying due to somebody's delusion. You say, why are they deluded? It's the nature of karma that there's people who are deluded, and our culture, which is deluded, which allows everyone to have a gun. So you can literally have an assault rifle and kill people easily. And you kind of go smile at, anyway, yes, sir.
So this came up in my head as you were talking. So is karma, is there a, like, I think just from growing up in a Western country, Christian country, I tend to associate it with, want to bring morality and fault into what happens to me in the world. But what you're describing, it sounds like karma is just a set of conditions that's not inherently making a judgment.
It's not, karma is like gravity. You, if I step out, if I go out this window, gravity's not out to get me. If I ignore it, it works. If you do bad, you do things, it has a consequence. How it works and how the threads work, God, nobody. I think in Buddhism, they'll say only a Buddha understands gravity, not gravity, a karma. You know, maybe he understands gravity too. But understands karma. And the thing is, a Buddha never said he understood karma. People later said only a Buddha would understand it. I don't think anyone really understands it. But on the other hand, using the image of gravity, gravity is what's holding the entire universe together. You know, the Big Bang starts, it's gravity. Nobody actually understands, there's no principle of how gravity works. Literally, there's nobody knows, okay, what's holding everything together? It's one of the reasons why they can't come up with a good unified theory in physics, which is the goal in physics, is how do you tie everything together? Because there really isn't a good theory for gravity. They don't know why gravity works. I mean, they know how it works very detailed. Newton even knew how it worked. I mean, it obviously works, but okay, but how does it work? Like something is holding the universe together, and it's slowly, just like they don't even understand why it's slowly moving apart. Because the other thing in the universe that they don't understand is the universe is expanding all the time, faster and faster. It's been accelerating, expanding faster and faster ever since the Big Bang. And nobody understands why. So they have this thing called dark energy.
Right.
And nobody knows what dark energy is, except there has to be something. that's going against the gravity. The gravity's holding it together. And they used to think maybe the gravity eventually would pull everything together and you'll have the big kind of squash, you know, like eventually the whole universe will just be pulled back into the Big Bang again. But apparently something's pulling it apart and nobody understands. But it's neutral in the sense, and in the end, the thing from a Buddhist point of view that takes you out of the guilt and the blame is the fact that in the end, nothing is fundamentally happening with karma. Like there is no suffering unless you cling to something. People can be in dreadful circumstances and realize none of this is binding them. And I mean, I've been with people who dreadful circumstances. Somebody and they realize none of the karma is really binding you. And that's one of the reasons we can accept all the karma, because in the end, nothing is fundamentally being affected. You say, well, I could die. Well, the karma is already there that we're going to die. And somebody says it's awful if we have pain. Actually, I've had times I've been in a lot of pain. So did it really anything fundamentally happen when you're in pain? It passes like, you know, I think back about like my pleasure. It's now like a dream and the pain's like a dream and nothing, you know, it's like somebody was talking about somebody dying painfully, almost like something went wrong. I kind of thought, you know, actually it's pretty normal to have some trouble dying. This is the body's falling apart. The fact that you're not comfortable is sort of, I mean, we all would like that comfortable, painless death, but due to karma, we could have something really hurting. Yet I've been around people who are having really painful deaths, and sometimes they're actually fine. You know, in fact, I always like quoting the woman who was in a lot of pain dying and more pain medication would kill her. And she said, this is the best I've ever been in my life. Wow. And when you looked at her face, she was, you know, she was glowing. She just said it was a shame she waited till now. Just like she actually took the Buddhist precepts a short time before dying. She actually had been a New Age kind of alternative teacher of something. I don't even know what, but she was a teacher of non-Buddhist teachings. It's not, you know, it's not stopping you from applying the Dharma. It just would be nice. I mean, all these things help. On one hand, they're all aids, so we'd like to, and in some, a lot of situations, they won't work for people because it's, you know, they need the support of like being in a monastery or something. But on the other hand, if you take things deeply, it's, you have to realize you have to wholeheartedly embrace where you are, whatever the karmic conditions are. And from a point of view of training, the reason we meditate and sit still with it is to realize that the karma doesn't have to affect us. You know, that's the real gift. That whatever's going on in the world, even including our life, no matter what we're feeling, in a way, sit still. Nothing's happening. You know, that's what it means to sit still. In a way, the thing that's moving is your desires. I want this and not that. Once you stop doing that, there's no problem. And the way opens up. As long as you're demanding things a certain way, there's always a problem. So although it's good, you know, I mean, we all spend our day mostly trying to make things work. You know what I mean? If you look at whatever it is, you're trying to basically help have less suffering, more happiness, more good stuff, less bad stuff. And that's normal life. Same way as it's good to try to have good health. It's deluded not to do what you can to have good health. You purposely not take care of yourself. But on the other hand, no matter what you do, your body's going to fall apart. And if it falls, whatever's going on with the body, you realize it doesn't have to bind you. You can actually be like the woman I described who was dying, but none of this was binding her. Or you can be bound by anything. I mean, somebody can say a harsh word to you and you can actually be upset about it for the next 3 weeks. Something could go wrong or something in the news could go amiss.